Thanks be to God. Thank you, Denise, for reading God's word for us. Happy Easter again, everyone. It's really nice to see each of you, to see you in your homes, and just to know that each of you, as well as every Christian in every nation around the globe today, is doing the same thing, remembering that we serve the one who is risen and seated now at the right hand on high. So for our gospel lesson this morning, I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 16. Starting in verse 1. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. He said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell the disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is God's word. It's given to us for our good. Let me pray for us. Arisen Lord, thank you that nothing can separate us from your love. Thank you that you, in rising from the dead, defeated death. And that right now you sit interceding on our behalf at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Lord Jesus, you know each one of us. You know the fears, the doubts, the struggles that we all bear. And I pray today that whatever we are bearing, that you would speak to us by your Spirit and through your written word, that you would give us hope in you, the risen one, that you would speak by your resurrected power, the life and the light that each one of us needs. We ask this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There are not many silver linings to the coronavirus, but one silver lining that I personally have enjoyed has been the memes of Lori Lightfoot. So if you are not familiar with them, they show Chicago's mayor in a gray suit, with her kind of typical stern expression. She's holding a stack of papers, and she's photoshopped in these memes into various public scenes, basically telling people, stay home, save lives. So for example, one meme shows her standing in the middle of a now desolate lakeshore drive. In another meme, the image of the mayor is actually cast into the night sky, kind of like the bat signal. And her face is looking down disapprovingly at the people clustered along the riverwalk. So I think my favorite of these memes is actually the one with Grant Wood's painting, American Gothic. That famous Iowa farming couple is no longer standing in front of their home. That's where Mayor Lightfoot is. But instead, the couple is, you see them peeking out of a window from inside their house, looking at Mayor Lightfoot. Their pitchfork was even dropped in the yard in their haste to get inside due to her gaze. Now, people, of course, love these memes for their humor. They're great. But I think that another reason that people love these memes is that in a time of crisis, we like the idea of a leader who can get things done. We like imagining that the mere gaze of the mayor has power to send people home, even people in paintings. Now, of course, in reality, we know that no leader, including Mayor Lightfoot, has the ability to fight off all things bad. But I do think there is something deeply satisfying about imagining it. I think that that longing for someone to be able to get things done is something that we find in each one of us in one form or another. And it is a longing, of course, that Easter actually gives us an answer to. Now, Jesus' followers thought that they had found someone who, in the face of crisis, could get things done, right? Jesus taught with authority. He healed diseases. He cast out demons. He fed the hungry masses. He did all those things. But then Good Friday happened, and suddenly everything changed. Jesus apparently could not fight off all the things bad. Even he is stopped by the one thing that has the power to stop all of us, death. That is what death is, right? It is the great stop sign on life. And so, friends, what we find is that first Easter morning, Mark tells us that these three women rose early, not to witness a miracle, not to witness a resurrection, but to anoint a dead body. As a side note, the men who had followed Jesus seemingly are in a self-imposed shelter in place, probably out of fear that the same thing that happened to Jesus might happen to them. But these women are the brave ones. They venture out faithfully to care for the corpse. But when they get to the tomb, they find several surprises. The tomb is open, the body is gone, and there in its place is an angel present with a message for them. Now, seeing an angel, as much as we might like to think that would be a neat experience for us to have, it is, when it's recorded in Scripture, 100% of the time a terrifying experience. And so the angel's opening line is a gracious, "Do not be alarmed. I'm not here to harm you. I'm here to reveal something to you." And then the angel reveals to them three facts about the Jesus whose body they seek. Number one, he was crucified. Check. They know that. Number two, he is risen. And number three, he will meet you and the other disciples in Galilee. Facts two and three are not a check. In the world that the women knew, dead people stay dead. You don't meet them in Galilee. Ancient peoples knew that as well as we moderns do. Dead people stay dead. But the angel is saying, this event does not play by the rules of your world. Now, I want to think with you for a moment, what in our world, what is the greatest power that the kingdoms of our world have at their disposal? What is the greatest power that a kingdom of this world, when it comes to it, can muster? Well, it is the threat of death, right? That is, in a sense, the last card we can play. Do what I say or else, right? Okay, so that's the kingdoms of this world. The greatest power we can possibly muster in this world is the threat of death. And you see oppressive regimes using that. But what is the power that Jesus' kingdom has? Well, it is the power of resurrection. It is the power to actually take what the world has destroyed and to raise it to new life. And so what the angel is basically telling the women is that a power greater than death is here. He's telling the women another kingdom, greater than the kingdoms of this world, has invaded the time and space of your world. And right now, that invasion is focused on a single point. Jesus has risen. Now, Mark tells us that when the women hear that Jesus has risen, what do? They flee. They're trembling. They're seized by astonishment. They're unable to say anything to anyone. I think many works of art try to capture what that moment must have felt like. One I remember particularly powerfully was the first time that I heard Bach's B minor mass. So I didn't know a thing about this piece of music. This is when I was a student in college. Some friends were playing in the orchestra, so I just went, not knowing anything about this music. So at one point in Bach's B minor mass, he's telling the story of Jesus. And in the part about the crucifixion, it's very slow and sort of calculated and rhythmic and mournful and quiet. And by the time the choir gets to the end singing, "He suffered death and was buried," it's barely audible. And then there is silence. And then, out of nowhere, the orchestra and choir simultaneously blast at full volume the announcement, and he rose. When that happened, when I heard that for the first time, I almost literally was startled out of my seat. I thought I was maybe having a medical event for a moment. It physically sort of disturbed me. Well, the resurrection, fittingly, is not news that you take in stride, right? It's not news that you just hear it and you continue on, okay, business as usual. No, this news is news that fundamentally disrupts life as we know it. And it's, it fundamentally disrupts it in a way that we need it to. Well, the women get that. And thus they are awestruck and dumbstruck. There's nothing they can continue doing just sort of naturally. Of course, they're not left there for forever. They eventually do tell Peter and the disciples, and this has other implications in their life. But there is a moment when they realize this has changed everything. Well, that one fact, the fact that Jesus has risen, does change everything. And it does that not just for the world to come, but also for our world in the here and the now. The next few Sundays at Boulevard, our sermons are going to explore each week a different implication of Jesus' resurrection. But for this morning, I want to just leave you mentioning two implications of Jesus' resurrection. So the first one is this. The resurrection of Jesus means, number one, that we are not subject to the fear of death. During a pandemic, fear of death is high. Death is a real enemy. There is no softening death as something that's not so bad. No, death is a real enemy. Some of us know people who have already died in this pandemic. And when these days of pandemic are finally done, and they will one day be done, but when they are done, death will have wrought destruction all around the world, on our bodies, on our relationships, on our economies, on our mental health. But friends, the pandemic that we're experiencing now reveals what is actually always the case. You see, in every age, in every generation, in every time, death is always an enemy that we all face. And it is always an enemy that is more powerful than us. As we reminded ourselves on Ash Wednesday at the beginning of our Lenten journey, none of us knows the day that we will face death head to head. But what we do know for each one of us is that that day will come. Well, the announcement of the gospel, the announcement of the Christian good news, is that all authority in heaven and on earth, including for you and your own bodies, is given not to death, but is given to the risen Jesus who defeated death. And what that means is if you serve him, you are not subject to the fear of death. Now, it is perfectly normal for all of us to experience some fear and anxiety around death and around pandemics. We need to take them seriously. But what this means is that we do not need to live subject to fear of them. We do not need to let the threat of death control us. Whenever we find that the fear of death is controlling us, is taking more place in our hearts, that kind of godlike place in our hearts, we simply need to remember who is Lord. And if the risen Christ is Lord, that means death is not. As our opening song put it, don't you worry, lift up your head. He is risen, he's not dead. So that's the first implication I want to mention of the resurrection of Christ. And the second implication of Christ's resurrection, and I'll end on this, is this, that there is work to be done. The angel tells the women, go tell Peter and the disciples. He's telling the women, okay, in light of the fact that Jesus rose, there is work to be done. Now we, along with these first disciples, live grantedly in a very odd time. Jesus has risen, and he is Lord of the earth now, but his rule has not yet fully been brought to bear on earth. It kind of feels like in this time of our lives that we're living a little bit in this like prolonged version of the Saturday between Good Friday and Easter. We are in a time of waiting. But even now, even while we wait, the risen Jesus is at work in creation, and he puts us to work too. So what is the work of Jesus? Well, I think the best picture of it is Jesus' own risen body. You see, what happened to Jesus' body, the very thing that happened to his dead body, is what he plans for the rest of the world, that it would be risen on the last day at the final resurrection. Not that it would be discarded or replaced, but that it would be raised from the dead. And that includes all of creation. It includes our bodies being raised from physical deaths, our spirits from spiritual death, our relationships from relational death, our imaginations from mental death, our work from work death, and so on and so forth. In other words, the mission of Jesus puts us on the mission of life, the mission of resurrected life. And that means in the here and the now, as followers of him, that we are called to fight against the pandemic with all that we have. We are called to feed the hungry with all that we have. We are called to seek justice for the oppressed with all that we have. We are called to honor the image of God in other human bodies with all that we have. We are called to struggle through hard times with all that we have, and so on, because none of it is in vain. Now, of course, our ultimate hope is not in the work that we do. The work of the kingdom is ultimately far beyond what our hands can wrought. And so part and parcel with our work is praying to this risen king, asking him to work. It is also pointing ourselves and others to this risen king who is at work. And it is, of course, enjoying this risen king who is at work and who is present with us even now by his Holy Spirit. Well, those things, praying, pointing ourselves and others to the risen king, enjoying him, that's the work we are focused on right now this morning. That's the work that Christians around the globe today, whether in isolation, whether in groups of two or three, whether in Zoom calls like this, it's the work we are doing just as we have done for generations and generations, remembering and celebrating that Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let me lead us in prayer. Risen Lord Jesus, we ask that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bring the power of your resurrection to bear on every square inch of this globe. Bring your power to bear on those who are sick, on those who have lost loved ones, on those caring for the sick, and researching vaccines and treatments, on community and national leaders. Lord, for all these, hear our prayer. Lord, we cry out for all the nations of the world today that your risen power would be at work. We especially remember the nation of Yemen, who even before this virus was suffering war and starvation and outbreaks of cholera. Lord Jesus, in your risen power, have mercy. Lord, we think of our own cities, our own communities, our own families, and ask that you and your risen power would have mercy. We pray in particular for the African American community in Chicago, which has been hit particularly hard by the coronavirus. Lord, in your mercy, save and bring your resurrected power to bear. Lord, in the hearts of your people, bring your resurrected power to bear that we would not be subject to the fear of death, and that we, in the freedom of that, would be able to offer the peace and life found in you with total abandon and love to all of our neighbors. We ask this in your name, Jesus, and fix our eyes on you, the one who has defeated death. Amen.